Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your love, oh, for your joy, for your blessing, Father. We love you so much in this church. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Last Sunday, we were talking about true prosperity. And I have a chance to only mention about one subject or one way to tap into the true prosperity of God. I was mentioning that the Bible says if we seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, then all these things taken together will be given to us. So if we seek the kingdom of God and the way He's doing things and the way to be right, then God will give us true prosperity. I mentioned also that true prosperity is not about finances alone. True prosperity involves every aspect of our life. It involves our physical body, our health, our job, our relationship in the family, relationship with our children, everything involved in prosperity. How many people know that the first word that the Lord spoke to the first man in the whole history named Adam was, bless you. The first word, when Adam opened his eyes, the first thing God said, be fruitful and fill the earth. I bless you. So the blessing of God, the prosperity of God is the original plan and purpose of God for mankind. But the reason we all face trouble, face problem, some of us are poor and sick and get all these problems because of sins and because of lack of faith, unbelief. So today we're going to learn more about prosperity and how to tap in the prosperity of God, which is His will anyway. The Bible says that, but He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement need to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon Him. God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, received all the bad things upon Him so that we can obtain peace. Peace means nothing broken, nothing missing. God wants us to have a life that there's nothing missing and nothing broken. Last Sunday, we learned that one of the ways to tap into the prosperity of God is walking in the truth. The Bible says, if you are willing and obedient to the truth of God, you shall eat the good of the land. How many people want to tap into prosperity? So you listen to this sermon carefully and start to practice what we learn. Matthew 25, verse 21, the Bible says, His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful. Everyone say faithful. Over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. The second principle is faithfulness and diligence. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3, let love and faithfulness never leave you. So all the days of your life, walk in love, walk in faithfulness. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. The Webster Dictionary gives the definition of the word faithful. The word faithful means full of faith. A person who can be faithful is a person who really knows his God and know that God never lies, know that the promises of God will be fulfilled, know that God is in control, have faith in God, then you can be faithful. Even though the circumstances look bad, you still stay faithful because you have faith in God. Another meaning of faithful is strong and firm in faith, firmly adhering to duty, a true fidelity, loyalty, constant in the performance of duties and services. In other words, the person who is faithful is the one who consistently does what is right, even though it may not be advantageous to him. Even though it may be so difficult, and even though he may not see the result right away, but he's going to consistently do what God called him to do. Faithful person. In the Word of God, the Bible promised that if you're faithful, we will be blessed. Psalm 106, verse 3. Blessed are they who maintain justice, who constantly do what is right. Blessed is a person who constantly never give up to do what is right. Faithfulness is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When you accepted Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit come into your life. And you begin to have a seed of faithfulness on the inside of you. But you need to develop. You need to grow in that faithfulness. And you cannot become godly without being faithful. Because faithfulness is the character of God. People who become more mature in Christ or become more godly are faithful people. Lamentation chapter 3 verse 22 and 23 say, it is because of the Lord's mercy and loving kindness that we are not consumed, because his tender compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great and abundant is your stability and faithfulness. God's stability. He never be shaken. He just keep on going. He is a faithful God. His faithfulness is abundant. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9, God is faithful, reliable, trustworthy, and therefore ever true to his promise, and he can be depended on. I like Amplified Bible. By him, you were called into companionship and participation with the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Faithful person is a reliable person. You can count on that person. Amen. I thank God for many brothers and sisters in the church that they are so faithful. You can count on them. And thank God for Victor and Masako. Every Sunday, they are here serving the Lord and serving the pastor. Faithful people. We are so thankful for Dwayne and Jocelyn. They are so faithful from the beginning of the church. They are here every Sunday taking care of the kids, taking care of many businesses in the church. Thank God for Neil Johnson. He's a faithful man. We have gone through so much in this church, up and down times. Sometimes you're down, sometimes you're up. But Neil Johnson has been always there for me and Pastor Da. He's a faithful man. That's why God bless him. We are faithful in what we are doing because God is faithful. And the Bible also promised that if we are loyal to him, we are reliable. When I became the Christian the first day, I said to the Lord, Lord, you can count on me. I will be a reliable person. If I have responsibility in the church, I'm going to be there every Sunday to do the job for you. I will not miss it. If I have to miss because I'm sick, I'm going to call my pastor. I'm going to call my leader of the ministry and say, you know, I cannot make it. Could you please find somebody? I'm not going to just disappear out of the blue and we don't know where he is. That is not faithfulness. Faithfulness is a trustworthiness. And also keep the promise. You promise you're going to do that project. Do it. Don't drop the ball in the middle. Don't quit. Do to the end of your promise. If you are faithful, God will bless you. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, the promise of God. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In heaven, God is sitting on the throne and he looked in the world. He looked for loyal, devoted, reliable, faithful, committed people. He looked and he said, oh, Victor, I'm going to make my hand strong for you. Whatever you do, I support you. I will back you up. If you walk into somewhere and you want something, I will be there with you. I'm going to show myself strong for you. Amen. That's why people who are faithful get into prosperity. Get into the blessing of God. Because the presence of God will be there for you. God going to help you. He will make his hand, his arm strong for you. He will help you and support you. Amen. So we need to be faithful kind of people, committed people to him. We need to be committed. Whatever you promise God to do, do it to the end. Don't quit. Don't throw in a towel in the middle. We should be faithful in both worlds, the spiritual world and the natural world. In the spiritual world, we should be faithful in studying the Bible. We should be faithful in receiving the Word of God into our heart, seeing the Word, reading the Bible, listening to the Word through the CD and MP3, studying the Word of God, faithful going to care group to feed yourself. You remember last Sunday I said that prosperity must start from your soul. You remember? I read the Bible to you so you know that this is my own idea. 3 John verse 2, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health in all things, just as your soul prospers. In other words, if I change this word around, it means if your soul prospers, everything else in your life, the outward, the external thing shall prosper. You need to start being prosperous in your soul first. And how are you going to be prosperous in your soul if you are not faithful in studying the Bible? Going to care group. Last week alone, I went to 3 care groups. This is a senior pastor. Senior pastor went to 3 care groups in a week. Usually become a senior pastor means I quit to go to care group now, you know, let other people do. But I'm still going to care group myself. I'm so blessed every time I go to care group. I hear people testimony. I heard people comment about the Bible. I learn from one. We learn from one another. And you feed your soul by joining in a small group and learning together. You encourage one another. Iron sharpen iron. Your soul prosper. Be faithful in studying the word, hearing the word, going to church every Sunday, get filled up every Sunday, your soul shall prosper. Amen. If your inner man prosper by believing in the word, filling up with the Holy Spirit, and obeying the word of God, then the rest of your life shall prosper. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 23, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Again, if your heart, your soul prosper, you keep feeding yourself with the word of God. Listen to a lot of CD, good teaching. Reading the Bible. Never miss the care group. Get into the word of God. Get into the Holy Spirit. Then what happened? It will be like medicine to your health. You will not get sick easily. You will get strong. Financially, you're going to get better. Everything going to get better in your life. Amen. So be faithful in the spiritual world. Be faithful in what God told you to do. 1987, God called me to start a church. At that time, I did not know anything. I was so inexperienced, but I obeyed God and started a church in 1988, first weekend of January 1988. And since that day, I'm still pastoring the church, never quit. No matter what happened, I'm going to do what God called me to do. I'm going to be faithful pastoring, taking care of people. Whether the church go up and down, people leave the church, people stay in the church, it doesn't matter to me. I say, God, I'm going to be faithful in doing what you call me to do. Amen? Just being faithful. Being faithful to the ministry that you are in. If you're in the worship ministry, be faithful. I know that you're all faithful here in this church. I'm so proud of you. Be faithful in your own church. Amen? Loyal to your church. And be reliable in your church. Be faithful to the people around you, your friends. Be faithful to your friends. You never hear me say bad things about you to anybody. You know why? Because I'm loyal to you. I'm not going to take your problem to go and tell the world and cheat you and cut behind your back. I want to be a faithful friend in this church. Be faithful, people. Being faithful and diligent. Actually, the Bible talks about diligence a lot. You cannot be diligent without being faithful. God really blessed the diligent. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 28 verses 1 to 2. How many people want God to bless you? Look at what the Bible says. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently, everyone say diligently, obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. We need to be diligent in hearing the voice of God, reading the Bible, get to know God, spend time in God. The reason I love the file of God, because according to the Bible, you can hear the voice of God better if you are filled with the file of God. In the book of Deuteronomy and Exodus, God spoke to Moses and the children of Israel from the fire at that mountain. From the pillar of fire, he spoke at that tent of meeting. So when you really fill with the Holy Spirit, I don't have time to explain about this a lot in this sermon. But the more of the Holy Spirit you have, the more, the clearer you're going to hear the voice of God. And you diligently listen to Him. You know, sometimes when you come to talk to me, you notice that I'm a very quiet person. I don't talk a lot. The reason because, not because I don't want to talk, but because I want to listen. I want to listen to God. Because if you talk, you cannot listen at the same time. So mature Christian, talk less, listen more. And then diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Are you diligently seeking God? If you diligently seeking God, God gonna reward you. I remember when I became a new believer in Thailand in 1981. Every time the church building opened, I was there. I went faithfully to study the Bible with the American missionary named Dan and Fan Kop. Every single week, I never missed the Bible study. I went to church early. I stay. Every time they went to the leper village to evangelize, I go with them. If they have a special seminar in the Baptist church there, I will be there. I'm diligently seeking God. And God bless me and my wife a lot. Because we are diligently seeking the Lord. Seeking the kingdom of God. Amen. I want to encourage you not to just lay back and be lukewarm. Be excited about God. Be diligent. Being so on fire, zealous. Wake up every day and slap on your face and say, I'm going to be on fire. You don't wake up and say, oh, another day. Another Sunday. No, this morning I wake up. Hey, I'm going to go to church. It's fun. The snow cannot stop me. Amen. I'm going to be in the church. I'm diligently seeking the Lord. Amen. Have that kind of lifestyle. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. So be diligent in your job. Amen. Work hard in your job. Be diligent in your church. Be diligent in your prayer life. Be diligent in whatever you do in your life. Do the best you can, and God will bless you. God cannot bless the lazy people. If you want to be blessed by God, if you want prosperity in your life, you need to be faithful and diligent in everything you do. Obeying God in everything He says to you. Being obedient people. 1 John 3:22, and we receive from Him whatever we ask, because we watchfully or diligently obey His orders, observe His suggestions and injunctions, follow His plan for us, and habitually practice what is pleasing to Him. So we need to be diligent and faithful until become our habit to do that. Everyone say, I will not quit. Faithful people will never quit. Stay true to the Word. Stay true to God. Stay true to what God called you to do. Be faithful. Be diligent. If you make mistake, that's okay. Repent. Get up and go on again. Don't quit. Everyone make mistake. I have made so many mistakes in this church, I tell you. I'm not perfect. But every time I find my mistake, I repent. I get up again and I move on again. Never quit. Never give up. And keep on serving God very faithfully and diligently. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. So we need to be faithful in our workplace. Don't try to make rich fast. Be faithful working, saving money, paying your mortgage off, paying your debt off. Just be faithful. Be diligent. Be faithful. Amen. Amen. And God gonna bless you. You pay off little by little. Eventually the debt gonna be gone. Eventually the mortgage will be gone. But if you are lazy, you are not diligent, you are not faithful, you will not get into the prosperity of God. Let's confess together. Let's confess. Okay, follow what I say here. I walk in faithfulness. And I am blessed. Because I constantly do what is right. I receive what I ask from God. Because I watchfully obey His instructions. and habitually practice what is pleasing to Him. I abound with blessings because I'm faithful. I walk in diligence and obey God's commands, and blessings overtake me. God rewards me because I diligently seek Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. How many people promise God that from today on you're going to be faithful and diligent? Amen. Faithful in everything you do. Faithful to your wife, faithful to your husband, faithful to your kids, faithful to your friend, loyal and reliable to your church friends and in your care groups and in the ministry, whatever you do, just stay faithful. Amen. The next thing that you need to do in order to tap into the blessing and the prosperity of God is in Proverbs. I quote all these scriptures so you know that I'm not making this up. It's all in the Bible. Okay? Proverbs chapter 3 verses 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labor, and with the first fruit of all your income, so shall your storage places be filled with plenty, and your vats shall be overflowing with new wine. Pastor Dan and I have experienced this principle ourselves since 1983. We were new believers at that time. We were born again in 1981. We started to go to a Baptist church in east part of Thailand. At that time, I was an employee of a government as a neurosurgeon. My salary was about $180 from the government. Pastor Da worked for a bank, and her salary almost the same, about $150 a month. Because we don't have enough to eat with this amount of money, I work overtime in the evening in my own clinic. And that overtime work that I did every evening on and Saturday all day long, I got altogether my income about almost $1,000 today, worth today, $1,000. So, at one point, God showed us this scripture that if we give 10% of our income to the local church where we get fed and we are built up spiritually in that local house, God said that He will open the floodgate of heaven and pour out the blessing upon us beyond what we can even contain. We don't even have enough room to keep it. That's what the Bible says. We look at each other's eyes and say, you know, we add money together, both of us, about $1,200 or $1,300. But if we pay tithe, it means that her whole salary is gone. Our tithe at that time equal to her salary working for the bank. And we look at each other's eyes and say, this is not logical. Why we give your salary away to church? Then you should not work. But she wants to work anyway. She doesn't want to stay home at that time. We have only one kid. And we decided to give that $300 to the church, that Baptist church. We start to do it. I tell you, after that, the floodgate of heaven opened. My income in the clinic raised up triple. Suddenly, patient give me special check. Suddenly, patient give me bags of prawn, fruit, all this stuff. I don't have to go to the market. I got free food all the time from my patient. My reputation went out the whole city to the point that I could not even go home by 11 p.m. at night at my clinic. People just pack into my clinic. Everyone want Dr. Lau. Everyone want Dr. Lau. Come and just sit and wait there for hours and hours to see me. God just start to bless us financially so much that we see that, oh, we give 10%. We give 10%, but God bless us more than we give back to Him. It's so clear that we never outgive God. Amen? That 10% belongs to the Lord. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. Capital S. It is holy to the Lord. The Bible says that whatever you get to your hand from your paycheck, He says, I give you more than what you should have. He gives 10% more. To test our heart whether we are faithful to return that 10% to Him. He is saying that 10% is mine. Don't keep it, please. If you keep it, you steal from me. The last person in the world that I want to rob is God. If you have problem with God, you're in trouble. I don't want to rob God. I want to give faithfully 10% to the Lord. Amen? So I decided to pay every single penny of my 10%, and I learned one thing about giving 10%. When we give 10%, it means we are making our covenant transaction with God, that God, from now on, you can get involved with my business. You can come in and put your hand upon it, and you're going to bless my business. It's a transaction. It's a deal. God said, if you give me 10% back, I make a deal with you. I will help your business. I will help your work. I will help your health. I will bless you. I will give prosperity to you. And you don't even have enough room to keep it. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible also says, when we give 10%, don't give it grudgingly. Look at what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 10 to 11. And now behold, I have brought the first fruit of the land which you, O Lord, has given me. First fruit means 10%. So you can see that the Jews at that time, the Hebrew, when they give, they don't just keep quiet and grinding their teeth. 10% God, I'm mad at you. No, they didn't do that. They praised the Lord. They opened their mouth and they praised the Lord. This is your money. I give it back to you. They spoke it. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before your Lord, the Lord your God. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house. You and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. In other words, the Bible says that when we give, we should count the blessing. Every Sunday you come, did you count the blessing? How much God bless your parents, your study, bless that your dad can have money to send you to Seattle University? Do you count the blessing that He protect you that day from accident? Do you really give to God with a cheerful, willing, thankful heart? You give with your heart and you speak with your mouth that you appreciate God so much. Amen? If you want to live in prosperity, don't cheat God. Amen. Look at another scripture. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly also reaps sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Besides tithe or 10% which belong to the Lord, God also speaks to us that we can give, we can sow to whatever God tells us to do. Maybe you walk into the church and you see somebody in need. They don't have money to pay rent that month. And God speaks to you, so give to that person. Help that person to pay that apartment monthly check, payment. You obey the Lord, you sign the check, you give that money, not 10%, this is beyond 10%. You are sowing. And God said, when you sow, you shall reap. Amen? In all these years, I sow a lot of money into revival and into souls, into salvation of soul. And now I begin to reap. I can see revival in my life. I see revival in the church. I see revival in everywhere I go because I sow the seed into the things that I want to reap. We need to learn how to sow. And the more we sow, the more we're going to reap. That is God's principle. We cannot avoid this principle. Luke 6, 38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over will be put into your bosom. For which the same measure that you use, it will be measured to you. So God said that if you give, so give to the poor, give to the ministry, give to friends in the church that need help. When you start to sow like that, beyond 10%, God said that open your lap. I open my lap. And God, angel come in with a big basket. And he say, okay, you sow $500. I get your $500 put in that basket. And not only that, my angel will pull out more dollars in there. And check, 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 check. Go down. And pull more. Check, 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 check. And then maybe the angel used the hand to push down, push, push, push to make it so full. And not only that, he said, not enough, not just full, not just check, check, check and push, press down, but pour more until it come out of the basket. And the two angels will come, and you open the lap, and he pour upon you, on your lap. And you just, I feel good on my lap. I feel good on my lap. Wow, so much come upon me. That's what the Bible say. In other words, tithe and sowing and giving is supernatural. What does it mean, supernatural? It means it's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's not 2 + 2 = 4. That is natural. But it means 1 + 1 = 1,000. God will press into that basket and pour out upon your lap. And you shall see the supernatural provision and prosperity of God. Let's confess. I honor the Lord by bringing Him all the tithe, so my storage places are filled with plenty. God opens the window of heaven and blesses me so there is not enough room to receive it. I sow bountifully, so I reap bountifully. I give, and it is given back to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be on my lap. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. How many people believe that God never lies? Amen. Be faithful in tithing and sowing. Last one. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. This is one of the big problems in many people's lives, your mouth. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke. We who believe, we also believe and therefore speak. One of the principles of tapping into the prosperity and the blessing of God is to walk by faith, believing in the promises of God and speak it. Sometimes I heard people say, oh, the economy is so bad right now. The stock market has gone down. We are in trouble. We're going to lose our job. We're going to be poor. Bad, 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 bad. So when you say like that, what do you believe? You believe in the economy. You believe in what the world and the TV say. You don't believe in the Word of God. The Word of God say, I shall supply all of your needs according to my glory in Christ, in riches in Christ Jesus. You say, no, it doesn't matter what economy it look like, I am blessed. God going to provide for me. God going to feed me. Amen. God will take care of me. You speak it. Whatever in your heart here of your faith, speak it out. Amen. People who walk by faith are blessed. One time I heard the kind of criticism against my preaching that, you know, I don't like Pastor Lau preaching. He always talk about faith. He always talk about faith, the faith stuff that people call me like this, faith stuff. And when I heard that, I feel so sad on the inside of me. What you are talking about? The Bible says it's not impossible to please God without faith. And you're born to be a Christian sitting around here and say, I don't want that faith stuff. Hey, you need more faith stuff. Period. You need more faith. I cry now every day, more faith. You know, we need faith stuff. We need the faith and then we speak it. You know why Abraham was blessed in everything? The Bible says, if you go back to read the book of Genesis, the Bible says Abraham was blessed in everything. The Bible says Abraham was blessed. You know why? Because Abraham was walking by faith. And the Bible says, Galatians chapter 3, verse 9, so then those who are of faith, are you of faith? Are you of faith stuff? Yes. How many people say, I don't want faith stuff? I want to perform brain operation on you. Okay, have a brain transplant. Are blessed with believing Abraham. You see, Abraham was blessed because he believed. And we are blessed because we're believing like him. And then we need to speak it out. The Bible always say, when you believe something, you speak it. Don't have bad word come from your mouth. Don't have doubtful statement come from your mouth because you curse yourself. Speak positive all the time. Romans chapter 10 verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and it's in your heart. The word of God must be in your heart, the promise of God, and then you speak it in your mouth. Mark chapter 11, verses 23 to 24. For surely I say to you, whoever said to these mountains, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says, believe in the heart and say it, will be done. He will have whatever he says. Amen. Sometimes the devil threatened me that economy is bad. You're going to lose a lot of patience. You're going to be in trouble. I wake up in the morning. I say, no way. I speak to this mountain, this economy. It's not going to affect my practice. Not going to affect my income. Period. In Jesus' name. I speak positive to myself. I'm not going to speak doubt to my life. Amen. I believe in my heart that God is going to feed me and I can speak it. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, last scripture. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Everyone say mouth. Speak. But you shall meditate in it day and night. Where is meditation? Heart. You meditate in your heart. You speak with your mouth that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Get the word into your heart. Believe it. Feed your spirit with the word of God, seeing it, digesting it, coming into it, meditating it in your heart, and then speak it. Let us speak. I believe. Therefore, I say what God says. I am of faith. So I am blessed. Like faithful Abraham. The word of faith is in my heart and is in my mouth. I tell the mountain of my life to be removed and cast into the sea. I believe that those things I say shall come to pass. So I have whatever I say. Amen. Four principles we learned in the past 2 weeks. Number one, walking in the truth. Number two, being faithful and diligent. Number three, tithing and sowing. Number four, believing and speaking it. Believing in the word of God and speaking it. Amen. If you can do all these four things, you will live in prosperity. Tap into the prosperity of God. The reason a lot of people living in defeat, because they don't understand the principle of God. Amen. How many people promised God that from today on, you will practice what you learned in these two sermons? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, that you teach us every single day new things and reminding us to do many things that we forget to do. Father, today we really want to say that we love you and we want to promise you that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we will practice what we learn. We keep your word in our heart. We speak it and we obey. We are willing and obedient, and we shall eat the good of the land. We thank you so much, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Before we close the service, just ask you a very quick question. Anyone in this room that never know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you heard about God, you come to church before, or you go to any church, but you never really personally invite Jesus Christ into your heart and become your Lord and Savior. God is a gentleman. He will never force his way in. He never forces his way in. He wants you to invite him. He said on the Bible that I'm knocking at the door. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I want to give you opportunity this morning. Whatever I preach today will never happen until you first must have Christ in your life. Because the Bible says Christ was cursed on the cross, on that tree, so that we can receive the blessing. The blessing comes through the finished work of the cross. The curse cannot be on your life if Christ is in you. The starting point of all this prosperity is to become a child of the living God. And you become a child or a son of God by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Even one person in this room who never accept Christ, we give you some time right now to make a decision to receive Jesus Christ into your heart. Again, it's your freedom of choice. God never forces you. Amen. Anyone in this room say, God, I never invite Jesus into my heart personally. Raise your hand up and say, God, I want you to come in today. I want you to come in today. Anyone never invite Jesus Christ? I want to give you the chance to do that. Anyone? Give God the opportunity to bless you, to come into your life. Anyone? I don't want you to procrastinate because we don't know whether we have tomorrow. Amen. Make a choice. Make a decision. Ask one more time. Anyone want to accept Jesus Christ into your life? Raise your hand up. Anyone? Anyone else? Thank you very much. Anyone else want to accept Jesus? Don't procrastinate. We don't know whether we have tomorrow. Get into the kingdom as soon as possible. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. Make a decision today. Believe me, if God is not real, I'm not standing here as a neurosurgeon preaching the word of God. He's real. Amen. Can I have the privilege and honor to pray with you? Can you come to me here? And I'll pray with you. I will pray with you here. Come here to the front here. Let me pray with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Follow my prayer. Just follow my prayer. Father in heaven, today I make a decision to follow you. Come back home. You are my Father. I believe you love me so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay for my sin. Lord Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord today. I invite you to come into my heart right now. Fill me up, Lord, with your presence. From today on, I'm not living in the curse. I'm living in prosperity and blessings. Thank you, Father, for loving me first. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you. Father in heaven, I pray for Felix and Ben. They make the right choice today. Today, angels in heaven are rejoicing for this great and eternal decision. I pray and bless them, Father, that their knowledge of God will grow, their faith will increase, they will know you more. Father, every time they cry out to you in the name of the Lord, they shall be saved and they shall see the hand of God. Bless them, bless their family too, Father, their wife, their family, their kids, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, I impart the blessing of Abraham upon them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm so happy to see that you make that decision. Thank God. It's the best choice for your life. Amen. Hallelujah.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-2000. 1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.